This is Military Mondays with Major David Katz.
David Katz, a very, very good morning. Welcome back to Chai FM for your usual Monday slot. We're talking things military and we're talking strategy specifically. You had a very, very strange thought about Julius Malema and the EFF. I'd love to hear it.
Well, of late, Julius Malema has been championing the cause of anti-xenophobic. He's taken an anti-xenophobic stance, which I think is to be applauded.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And he's done that on a number of occasions, and of late, he's taken it a little bit further in saying that the borders surrounding South Africa are a pure colonial construct.
And then well, which is absolutely true, but all borders, I mean, you can call it colonial, but all borders are a construct.
Absolutely, yes. But he's saying that it's a fictitious, not a fictitious, it's a pure colonial construct, and unnecessary. And in certain ways he's right, and in certain ways he's wrong. Some of these borders just cut through people from the same tribe. So the colonial masters didn't pay any heed to, nor did they really care whether they're correct. So he points that out. And his viewpoint is not far off, funnily enough, from the old expansionists, started off by Cecil John Rhodes, who there's a fantastic statue of him down here in Cape Town. Not the one removed, there's another one.
I was just going to say, how do you think that makes Julius Malema feel? Although the difference being, I would imagine, is that Cecil John Rhodes wanted Africa to be a British colony from Cape to Cairo, which is somewhat different to what Julius Malema is saying, isn't he? Saying that the whole concept of borders. One of our guys beforehand, was it Thabo Mbeki, who spoke about a sort of United States of Africa?
Well, what are the famous guys was Gaddafi. Gaddafi was looking at the United States of Africa.
I'm looking for somebody who's decent.
Who's decent.
Yeah, who doesn't like to kill his own people.
Are there such things as decent politicians, you know?
I don't know. Well, there's another question.
The jury's out on that. There's another question. But listen, I don't want to draw comparisons where they are none and they're tenuous. So, but definitely this idea of, and what's interesting about it, that this idea of South Africa being expansionist is a very old idea, harking back to Cecil John Rhodes, harking back to Jan Smuts, who saw the whole Cape to Cairo idea and dream. And, in fact, Jan Smuts almost fulfilled that, in World War I when he conquered Germany East Africa, which is Tanzania. And for the first time, the British Empire stretched from Cape to Cairo. So Jan Smuts actually delivered on their dream.
I say what a Cape to Cairo thread that ran through Africa?
A territorial thread. So it was a territorial contiguous area. And Jan Smuts fulfilled it. And therefore completed the dream in a territorial way. Where I would say that the modern day Pan-Africanists who are looking for an African super state have got to understand that the borders were not purely a colonial construct. The High Commission territories, Botswana, Lesotho, Swaziland, fought tooth and nail to stay out of the South African Republic.
That's interesting.
Absolutely. And to this day, I mean, I suppose they cast suspicious eyes on South Africa. In fact, in a previous chat that I had with you, we spoke about the relationships between Zimbabwe and some of the African neighboring states not being on that sound of footing. I mean, to this day, we don't have a great relationship with Nigeria either. And our relationships with Zimbabwe are not the strongest. And I would say that some of these small little states that we surround view us with suspicion.
Why is that?
To this day, because of this history of South Africa being the superpower of the South and looking northward for territorial expansion. There's a long history of it. So when Malema gets up and starts speaking about this, I'm sure it raises a couple of eyebrows in the neighboring states. It certainly does. So what's
he gaining by doing that? You know, surely most people's attitude will be, we haven't yet solved our own problem. What we want to take over Zimbabwe and have that as part of our greater South African state. You know, what are we out of our minds? We've got so many issues to deal with here.
Certainly, but the economy is, I mean, it's on an economic level. It's not an idea that's overly weird. Mm. The Southern African states are very, very integrated. One of South Africa's biggest trading partners is Zimbabwe, or was Zimbabwe. And should Zimbabwe ever become economically sound again, it would be a very, very important country to us, and most probably would add a couple of percentage points onto our gross national product. So certainly, if economically these borders would be eased and would fall, it would certainly ease the economic recovery of the region. There's no doubt about it. So his ideas are not that weird from an economic point of view. I would love to see a railway going from here to the capital of Nigeria. I mean, yeah, that would just aid trade and you know, that type of development.
And it's absurd that we don't have a decent rail system throughout certainly Southern Africa. It's completely ridiculous.
Absolutely. So on the economic fronts, it makes perfect sense. But I suppose there is that reluctance in these countries. There's a certain reluctance to get too close to South Africa.
Do you think it's got a historic past in terms of apartheid, that countries were separated from South Africa because of South Africa's policies, and it just never quite came together afterwards?
No, certainly apartheid played a role. In fact, the Cape franchise, I don't know if you're aware that in the Cape, it was under a different system under the British. The Cape had the Cape franchise where it was a qualified vote. So in other words, black people could get the vote in the Cape back in the late 1800s and the early 1900s and right up until the mid 1900s. Blacks and coloureds had the vote in the Cape under the Cape franchise system. And Rhodesia had the same franchise system.
Right.
And that is why Rhodesia remained outside of South Africa, is because of this qualified franchise system that the apartheid government did not want to have. And this Cape franchise system wasn't taken into the Orange Free State and into the Transvaal. So certainly the dreams of the British uniting all their colonies under South Africa fell apart because the South Africans under Jan Smuts and Herzog didn't want to accept the Cape franchise for the whole of South Africa. Right. So that was the end from the British point of view. That was the end of them trying to consolidate an empire under the South Africans in Africa. But it was a very close run thing. It could have well happened. The Rhodesians voted in 1924 not to be part of South Africa. And from there, the whole Jan Smuts's whole dream of a greater South Africa started to fall to pieces.
You know, Malema's been accused of being quite a megalomaniac, and he's been accused of all sorts of things, some of which might be true, some of which might not be. Chester Missing, the comedian, tweeted earlier today, and this is what he says: Juju says he doesn't trust the new NPA head, Shamila Batoyi. He thinks she's close to Pravin because Indian people all know each other. Julius looks black, but under the revolutionary facade is a 50-year-old white racist from Umhlanga. I mean, obviously he's a comedian, he's saying it tongue in cheek, but there is the sense that we don't really know what we're getting with Julius Malema. He might say something we don't. I certainly don't buy a lot of the stuff, and I sort of judge him for the better, because I often think that he's just saying something for popularism and he doesn't really mean it.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm being naive, because I happen to think he's an incredibly smart, incredibly, incredibly smart politician.
I agree with you. I think he's very astute.
But do we need to be concerned? My feeling is not to be. That's what's quite strange. And I don't know if I'm deluding myself, but when I hear, about expansionist views in Africa, that makes my skin tingle just a little.
There are certain politicians that certainly make you feel uncomfortable. Mm. I mean, I would most probably count him as one of those, is that he's a disruptor, is he not? He certainly initiated the disruption in Parliament. And got the whole Zuma thing going. He is a disruptor.
Yes.
And from one point of view, disruption in politics is most probably a good thing. It puts you on a different track. It breaks the logjam.
And we certainly do need to have these conversations in South Africa. He forces conversations that others won't, and has to be applauded for that.
He makes one feel uneasy, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. The jury's out on that one. I just doubt all politicians' sincerity. I think they do cater, and we're entering into a very interesting period. It's just before the elections. I think a hell of a lot of promises are going to be made, and a lot of people are going to pander to the populists
and
just to garner a few extra votes.
May you live in interesting times. times.
May you live in interesting times.
Time is 8:40. I'd love to hear your views on it. 34519 or 061-895-1019. We're chatting about Julius Malema's Pan-Africanist view. Is it something that we need to be concerned about? Does it bother you or does it make perfect sense? I'd love your thoughts on this.
What can I say?
Well, exactly. All right. So, we are talking Military Mondays. We are talking about expansionist views in Africa. Let me just ask you this. Is once the walls of apartheid or the facade of apartheid fell in South Africa, why didn't the Southern African countries work well together? From, whether it's from a military perspective, whether it's a railway perspective. I know that the railway lines themselves in Zimbabwe are actually different widths to South Africans. So even that became a difficult issue. There's so many ways in which Southern Africa should have worked closely together, which would have made a Pan-Africanist view or approach a lot more sensible. You know, right now we're actually further away from it than we probably what we were 10 years ago.
I tend to agree with you. I think what happened after South Africa became democratic in 1994 is that the limelight that the frontline states enjoyed, especially Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe enjoyed, as being a leader of the frontline states, disappeared overnight. Mm-hmm. And that didn't sit easy with some of these frontline state heads. And South Africa is the economic powerhouse of the South. And
So is there, do the other countries feel very threatened by South Africa, would you say? Would that be part of it?
Certainly to a certain extent. I mean, one of the first acts that happened, was, back in 96, if I remember correctly, was Operation Boleus, where we invaded, Lesotho. Mm-hmm. So we certainly
Mark,
can.
That's military, eh?
It is military. I thought I'd just refer to that, just to give us a bit of a more military flavor. So South Africa can stamp its authority in the region. We are the superpower of the region, and these states at times must probably can feel threatened. Certainly when Julius Malema gets up and starts talking about the colonial construct of the borders with Mozambique, and Mozambique has got an incredibly long history of South Africa trying to acquire southern Mozambique. And now all of a sudden it's sort of brought back to the fore that we're interested in removing our borders and creating the Southern African superstate. These guys, I'm sure, look at it.
What's interesting to me is Julius Malema, I always think, throws mud against a wall. And if it sticks, then he continues with it. If it doesn't stick, then he drops it and moves on to the next thing that he throws against a wall. And I'm wondering what South Africa, the voters' response, will be to this type of talk. You know, it certainly worked in Germany in the early 1930s when Hitler spoke about Lebensraum and expansionism and taking back what is rightfully German. Certainly there's, and I guess if anything makes me uncomfortable, it's the comparison, that type of talk matching that. And even if he's not saying it in a negative way, and he's not saying we need to go and march in and take over Botswana or Mozambique, but it's certainly expansionist dialogue.
Certainly, expansionism has a negative connotation. People are going to view it in a negative light, given what happened in Germany with Lebensraum, and even given what happened with South Africa with trying to expand itself, northwards. So it's not an unknown thing in Africa. As I said, Gaddafi championed this. He was the champion of creating an African superstate.
Okay. So do you think it'll ever
single
happen?
Currency?
Do you think it'll ever happen?
Well, I would say, you know, let's talk about the Southern African states. Is it an economically viable solution for the region? I'd say absolutely. Absolutely. If we could remove the economic borders, and some of them are being removed as we speak. Just let's talk about the Zimbabwe border. I've been through that Zimbabwe border on many, many occasions. And it's a 6 or 7 hour wait for a motorcyclist, a 6 or 7 hour wait to get to that border post. I see trucks there. There's 20 kilometers of trucks waiting to cross that border. Now, if those restrictions could be removed, can you imagine the economic benefits between the two countries. Incredible. If those border restrictions were just absolutely, much like the EU, much like the
EU. And what's so interesting about it is the borders aren't doing any good anyway, really, because anybody who wants to come across to South Africa illegally is doing so.
Agreed.
So they've,
agreed.
Unsign says, so it's not military Monday today, but militant politics Monday. Jeez. They're tough out
we're
there.
We're hitting a button. We're
I
touching
don't know
a
why.
Cord.
Why are we hitting such a thing? I think it's such an interesting conversation.
And we're discussing history, basically.
Yeah, I mean, darn it. What, you don't want to be educated? Really? All right, I think it's... Zanetti, do you think this is interesting?
That was a pregnant pause.
Oh, wow. It wasn't even a pause. It was a, please don't make me answer that. I find this so fascinating. Are we complete? Is it just me and you, David?
I think we should go beyond 9 o'clock.
I think so as well. Let's book
the studio for another hour.
I'm having the best fun ever. So, Nati, no, not for you, this conversation.
Yeah, so...
Oh, hold on. Let's put your mic a bit loud. I don't know why it's so soft.
I'm going to go have breakfast now.
Wow. Thank you. Lindiwe is my producer. She's saying, I like it. This is good quality conversation.
I saw that thumbs up. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Lindiwe. Wow.
Just the three of you.
Just the three of us. And certainly not Mike. We can't count on him. Guy's military Monday. He's had enough of politics. But this isn't really politics,
no,
is
it's
it?
No, it's history. I'm trying to show there's a foundation behind what these politicians are talking about today. Mm. You know, as I've said before, history tells us where we came from. And I wonder if Julius Malema knows about the historical basis for what he's proposing at the end of the day. I think you may be quite shocked to know that him and Cecil, you know, politics makes strange bedfellows. I wonder if he would be comfortable with the fact that he's got the same viewpoints as Cecil John Rhodes.
Well, we always see this, don't we, that these circles are just closer and closer. And science says, I'm really enjoying Militant Politics Monday. It makes for a breath of fresh air. Just saying it's not Military Monday. All right, I get that. I do get that. Speaking of politics, Netanyahu uses Donald Trump in his election campaign poster. I thought this was crazy. Knowingly or not, I would suggest the former. U.S. President Donald Trump has been recruited to the Israeli election campaign, and that's appearing alongside Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on a large billboard Sunday, visible to tens of thousands of drivers during rush hour on Tel Aviv's Ayalon Highway. The posters from Netanyahu's ruling Likud party shows the two leaders shaking hands under the headline, Netanyahu in a different league. Wow, that's his poster with the Likud at the bottom. The slogan refers to Netanyahu's close relationship with Donald Trump, who in 2018 fulfilled an election promise by moving the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. The move was widely praised by the Jewish parties across across Israel's normally very partisan political spectrum. So that's very, very interesting, is Netanyahu recognized the popularity of Donald Trump in Israel and now recruiting him to be on his election poster, saying Netanyahu in a different league.
Politicians are opportunists. They're going to try and tap into the mood of the nation, you know, and try and identify something that will stir people, which is interesting. So obviously Donald Trump is something to hit your coat onto.
Right, and especially in Israel, because he is viewed very, very positively and very favorably in Israel. I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 061-895-1019.